What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have a very special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a returning guest who is here to discuss her newest project release. From her experience as an entertainer in the industry, she has created an autobiography detailing her life's transformation, prompted by a series of extraordinary coincidences. And the title of the book is called Coincidence, It's God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. Please welcome back author, singer-songwriter, Miss Gloria Loring. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. It's so nice to be with you again.
Oh, thank you so much. The pleasure is all mine. It's always great talking to you. It's always inspiration for me. I always feel good when I get off the phone with you.
Well, I feel that way too, so what a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect timing. Well, Gloria, you know, I wanted to, you know, talk to you about your new project release, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. I mean, when and how did this inspiration come together to create this project?
Well, it emerged over quite a while, you know, as some of these really deep sorts of subjects do. They sort of are marinating in us for a bit. The initial story in the book, chapter number one, actually happened in about 1984, and it was where I put together the Days of Our Lives Celebrity Cookbook, and through some coincidences and a lot of help, I was able to raise $1 million for diabetes research. And you see, I had promised my little 5-year-old son that I would do something to help end his diabetes. That he said, "Mama, when are my shots going to be over?" And I couldn't bear to tell him never. So I just said, "Well, I don't know, but we're working on it." And then I came up with this idea. I'd been cast on Days of Our Lives, and I created this cookbook. But I got to the point where I had everything ready, but I had no money to pay for the printing. And I had asked for sponsors. I had done presentations, but just it wasn't working. And I remember thinking, okay, something's got to happen because we didn't come this far to have this thing fail now. Because we had all the recipes collected. We had people at graphics designers at Architectural Digest who were doing our graphics. Everybody had chipped in to bring it to that point. And a little card, a little business card that said three words showed up very mysteriously in my dressing room on a Friday. And it was tucked underneath my carry bag that I put my script and my makeup, etc. in. And the three words were, "Expect a miracle." And I thought, well, what is this? Where did this come from? And I was going to throw it in the trash. And you know, sometimes you just get a little intuition. And it was like a little voice in me said, don't throw away a card that says, "Expect a miracle."
Sure.
So I took it and I threw it in my carry bag. Forgot about it for a year. But went to Houston. The very next day, I was playing at a celebrity tennis tournament for Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation to raise money for research. And I ran into, again, for the second time, a man who years before I had met, who had his own private plane, very wealthy gentleman, very philanthropic, and a little voice in my head as I'm talking to him says, tell him about the cookbook. And I did, and I told him we were all ready to go, but I hadn't been able to get the money for the printing. And he said, how much do you need? And I said, well, $40,000. And he said, well, he said, hell, he said, I'll give you 10. He said, come on, let's go out in the lobby. I got some friends here tonight, and this is Texas. Now, within that night, I raised almost $20,000. And within the next few weeks, the rest of the money I needed came in. And we printed 50,000 copies of Volume 1 of the Days of Our Lives Celebrity Cookbook. Then we printed Volume 2. 2 years later, and raised $1 million for diabetes research.
Wow.
And that little card, Expect a Miracle, I framed it and put it on my office wall. And a couple of years after that, I was telling the story to someone like yourself, an interviewer, and I said, isn't that an amazing coincidence that that little card would show up 24 hours before my benefactor? And he said, yes. He said, but you know, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. And I immediately said, wait a minute, tell me that again. I got to write that down. And I wrote it down, and I started repeating it when I would tell the story. You know, when you hear something smart, I didn't realize Albert Einstein had said that. That's pretty smart. But it stuck with me. And sometimes, you know, it just takes the right thing said at the right time that piques our awareness. We see things in a slightly different way, or we're led to a bigger vision of our lives. And so years went along after that, and a number of extraordinary coincidences came into my life, one after the other. And I finally got to the point in 1998, which is now 14 years ago, that I said, I've got to write these stories down. And I started to write them down, and out of that very creative time, songs started emerging. And it was just a lot of writing, and I wanted for the first time in my life really to write an album of all my own songs. And I worked with wonderful collaborators, from George Duke to a wonderful Irish fellow in Nashville, and David Pomerantz, who wrote so many hit songs for Barry Manilow, and just a whole wonderful group. And my son and I wrote two songs on the album.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and I produced the album because I thought that I was going to get those stories written up pretty quickly, because it was so clear to me. And I saw as I started to write them down that this subject was so much deeper than anything I was ready to tackle. The stories were there, but what did they mean?
Sure.
How do coincidences happen? Where do they come from? Do we play a part in their appearance? What part do we play? What about bad coincidences or unfortunate occurrences? So I started to research. I wrote my basic stories down, and I put them aside. And every once in a while, every several years, I'd pick them up, and I'd start to rework them. And I'd write another chapter, and I'd fill it out, because I was engaged in a course of study, ancient philosophical principles and from yoga. They were speaking to me, and I'd fill things out, and I'd go, still not done. And it just didn't feel like the right time.
Wow.
I think I was nervous, unsure that it was time for a book by me with the word God in the title. And I finally, a couple of years ago, realized that of the top nonfiction bestsellers, 6 or 7 out of the 10 were books about spiritual issues. And I thought, you know what, now's the time. And so I began to finish up the book, and it takes a lot of time to finish a book, to get a proposal written, to find your agent, to find your publisher. Takes almost a year to get to from start to finish to get a book to a publisher, and then get it actually out into the marketplace.
Yeah.
So it's taken all this time, but in that meantime, these songs and these stories are like part of my bones. I know what I'm talking about. It's not a subject that I feel like it's a superfluous, oh, isn't that cool, coincidence, you know. No. I know that place where they come from. I know we all have it.
Oh, yeah.
I know we all have access to it. I know that sometimes great challenges come, and the songs speak of those things. You know, sometimes there's a letting go. Sometimes there's a gathering together. Sometimes there's just the first chapter, Expect a Miracle. I wrote a song for my son, Brennan. It's called Brennan's Song, I Always Will. And it's a love song from a mother to a son. And then there are funny songs. There's 20 Years Girl Time that I wrote with David Pomerantz, that is a song about the difference between a woman's perception and a man's perception. When you meet a man and you have a good time, and he takes your phone number, and he says, so I'll call you, and you say, yeah, and then he doesn't call you for 4 days. That's 20 years girl time, you know? And it's a very funny song about that. So that's how this all happened. I saw that the songs that I was writing directly related to the ideas and the principles and the stories that were unfolding in these chapters, but it just took all this time for it to settle down and meld together, and it's so exciting to see it now. I know it's a good work. I feel in my heart whenever I talk about it that I'm hearing back from people. I just talked to Larry Flick on Sirius XM this morning, and he sent a Twitter back, and he said, "Your book is a revelation." Wow. And I mean, what a great thing for this to be revealing something to people that they feel they want to know, or they always had an inkling about, but they hadn't had the time to study deeply. And I'm so honored to be a part of that process.
Oh, definitely. You know, what I found interesting about the book also, Gloria, is that it has its own original soundtrack. There's always audiobooks, but to have something in print with a soundtrack, an original soundtrack that you've created and written on your own, I mean, that's totally original, totally genius.
Well, I hope it's genius. it just was the right thing. And I decided with my publisher to let the book be its own thing. And then if people want to order the CD, which is actually called Turn the Page, and I wrote that with Bob Leatherborough, and Lori Barth, his wife, and I wanted to write something in 5/4 time. I just had this thing about 5/4 time. I just loved it.
Sure.
And we wrote this great song, "So When the Question Needs an Answer, Turn the Page. When you need another chance or think you've lost your way, you never know what's true until you see it through. Remember, you can always turn the page." You know, so it was this great rhythmic feel that feels right, but feels a little different and fresh, and that's really what the book is about. You know, the life unfolds for us. You never know what's true until you see it through. Sometimes things look really hard or really impossible, and then we can turn them into good. We can find some good, even in the most difficult challenges.
Oh, definitely. You know, the book is going to be successful because I think everyone can relate to it. You know, everyone has a situation, and with the coincidences that's going on in your life, you know, let's not be naive to what's going on, you know, especially if these are reoccurring issues. So it's definitely something that's going to open up our eyes to what's going on around us.
Yes, and going on within us, too.
Definitely.
You know, because when something, you know, sometimes there are two ways to look at that word coincidence. One is saying, "Oh, that was a weird coincidence," you know, kind of toss it off. And then there's that other meaning, which is the coinciding of meaningful events. And if they're meaningful for you, they may be a reflection of something that's important to you, or they may actually be giving you some direction or guidance. And that's the meaning, the attitude about coincidence that I've delved into in the book. And that's what the songs are about, too. So many of the songs, one of the songs is called "I Hear You Calling Everywhere." And it's really about that presence, that love, that intelligence that is available to us in early morn and mountain light, in every evening's lullaby. I hear you calling everywhere. I hear you calling everywhere. You know, that this is a love is here. And sometimes we cut ourselves off from it because we have wounds and unhappinesses and we're in certain habits of thinking. And yet there's a world of majesty and mystery and magic, magical occurrences, coincidences,
right.
Coincidings that are happening all the time right in front of us.
You know, with promoting your book, Gloria, with the signings and the book tours, is there maybe a possible tour of doing a CD, performing the CDs and some of the songs on stage and performances on that?
You know what? Somebody was talking to me about that recently, and what if you did sort of a one-woman show with these stories and use the music? And it really sparked something, you know, coincidence, hello, meaningful events. And it sparked something in me. And my creative partner and manager, Sherry, and I had discussed doing something like this, although not specifically about the book, but using music and telling my stories. But I am thinking of it. It's feeling like that might be a really powerful direction to go in.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. You know, again, it just opens up another avenue for listeners. And, you know, I think the two just kind of go together with the project that you created. So, yeah, it's like, can't go wrong.
Well, music has always been used to tell stories. And what a perfect coinciding there too, you know.
Right.
I think there's so much here. And by the way, for folks who are listening, the CD, the book, you get separately, you know, on Amazon. But my CD is also available as Amazon MP3. It's on iTunes. It's called Turn the Page. And it's on my website. And if you order it from my website, I can autograph it for you. All those good things. It's a good project.
You know, Gloria, you know, you have so much experience within the music industry and, you know, you're an experienced author as well. Promoting your CD, is it different from promoting a book? I mean, are they tied together? Or is it just a little different approach in promoting?
Well, I think you're still trying to get the word out. You're trying to get aspects of the work out, whether it's a little bit of the music or some of the stories from the book. You're trying to interest people and attract people. You know, you might speak to one audience about one aspect of your book or your CD. Music is my book has so many aspects to it that, you know, depending on who I'm talking to. Now, as an example, this Thursday, I'm speaking at a conference for addictive behaviors. I'm speaking to healthcare professionals about coincidence and my own, how coincidence led me to healing, to growth, etc. I'm entertaining them also with some of the songs from the book. So that message will be tailored for that audience, whereas if I'm with a different audience, if I'm in a spiritual community, then I will talk more about the spiritual aspects. If I'm in a secular setting, I'll talk more about the secular aspects. But I think with the music is the music. Do you know what I mean? You sing the song and there it is. But because my book has so many facets to it and people can bring to it what they do and take from it what they want and what is good for them, promoting the book is a little more multifaceted, I would say.
Okay, yeah. I would assume so.
Yeah.
You know,
just a bit more.
Well, you know, what's nice about it also with technology, have you have any plans of making it available as an ebook for like Kindle books and some of the Android tablets?
Yes, actually, they're working on that right now. It usually, the ebook, Kindle, etc., comes out about 2 weeks after the release, and the release was just a week ago today.
Nice.
So I just heard from my editor that they are in the middle of getting the ebook version ready now.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So that's exciting too. Because I know, I mean, I've read so many more books now because of the Kindle. Because if I'm traveling, I can load two or three books, and it's so easy to go traveling like that.
Oh, totally. It's so much more convenient, definitely.
Well, it's like our iPods and our, you know, phones that we can put music in now. I mean, we take so much information with us everywhere we go. It's almost too much sometimes.
I'm a victim of that. I'm one of the guys who carries a USB flash drive with them everywhere I go, so I got to have
it. Well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's your language is music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you're always listening, and you always want to hear who's doing what, and no, you're always schooling yourself. I think we never stop learning.
Oh, no, definitely. I've always considered myself and will remain a student of music. Got to.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of the book, Gloria, are any current projects of writing or producing and recording in the studio?
I have been working with Ted Perlman, who's a wonderful musician and producer, and we've just sort of, in a catch-as-catch-can for our own love of it, we've got five new tracks, and when he's available and when I'm available, we get together and we do another song, and looking forward to that point where there'll be an entire project finished. So, we are working with... We have a wonderful Burt Bacharach song called Love Is Still the Answer that he just created a gorgeous track for, and have a song from Desmond Child called The Best of Me that I just love. And one of the things that I told Ted I really want to do is I want all of, no ballads, I want all of this music to have motors underneath it, to have feels, to kind of carry you along, whether you listen to the lyric or not, that the feels themselves will get into your heart and get into your bones.
Sure.
And Ted is just wonderful at that. So he's just done a great job so far. And I look forward to what our next song will be.
Now, last time I spoke to you, you've been working with him for a while. You know, it's really cool that you guys have.
Over the last 3 years, I know.
Yeah.
it keeps expanding. And
yes.
Well, you see, I've been so busy this last year with the book that in the last year we really haven't gotten together. And just recently we were in the studio talking about, just together for a little bit, talking about some stuff. And he said, we got to get started again. So we're gonna get to it. I just have to get the next couple of months are devoted to getting the word out about the book and getting that, you know, on the road and all.
Definitely.
And then we'll get back at it.
Oh, yeah.
And the music is so sweet. It's so sweet. You know, when too many days or weeks go by and I don't sing, I really feel a little bereft of it. And the minute I start to sing, just my life is better. It's that simple.
Oh, yeah.
It's just better.
Oh, yeah. I got to have it in life. You know, like I said, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't play. Every single day, it's just a part of me. It keeps me breathing.
I know. And are you in the studio working on something new?
I am. I'm always tracking and doing edits and sound designing and, you know, helping out with other studio musicians in the area. So,
great.
Yeah, it's always projects keeping me busy and just working things on the side. So, yeah, it's keeping me swamped and running the shows nonstop.
Good for you. Do it. You know what? Is there anything better in the world than doing what we love?
No, absolutely not.
I don't care if it's flower arranging, if it's taking care of your children, if it's walking your dogs, just as much as possible. Do what you love or find a way to love what you have to do.
Oh, yeah, got to have it, Gloria. I totally agree with
just
you.
Just find a way to love it. Find something to love about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what's on the musical agenda or business agenda for the remainder of the year and moving into 2013?
I think this book, definitely. I was on the Dr. Drew show the other night and spoke for the first time about the information that's in chapters 8 and 9 about my recovery and healing from childhood sexual abuse. And I have been getting so much inquiry about my coming out and speaking and singing about that and, you know, bringing what I have created in this book out there into the world. And that's something really that I have waited for. I knew that this book was going to give me a platform from which to be in the world in a new way. And so I'm so excited about that.
Wow.
To bring what I love. See, I love what life can do for us, to us and through us. You know, some stuff's tough.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes things are, what Rumi says, you know, swept away. You know, we get our feet knocked out from under us. But my editor, we had a problem with one of the batches of books. And I said to her, don't worry, we'll get it fixed. And she just wrote me back and she said, boy, she said, you really do listen to your own advice. You just have been so sanguine about this upheaval and some books got sold to people and they were missing a page and now we have to replace them and I need to contact those people. And I said, well, you know, it's not what happens to us that defines us. It's how we handle it.
All the way, yeah.
All the way. It's how we handle it. And that's what just fascinates me. Because I had so much agitation in me. I had so much unresolved grief and despair. And I poured it into the music. There's a song that I wrote called Song of My Father. My father was an alcoholic, and there was inappropriate sexuality in our home. And it wounded me. But there was a blessing in it. There was a good side because I went out in the world and I was so determined to not be invisible. I was so determined to be beautiful and important, even though I felt small and beaten up and helpless and hopeless in some ways. I fought against that. And that's what propelled me out into life to sing and to make my way and to try to be heard. And so many actors have been hurt in some ways, and they go out and they want to put that into something.
Right.
They want to funnel it somewhere. They want to use it for something good. And so there was a blessing in that. And the song of my father says, you know, I staked my life on the music. I put my heart to the pen, and I tried not to dance to the same old tune again and again and again.
Wow.
And with all that we've been through, I do love you. And I'm talking to my father. You know, so it's a song of forgiveness. It's a song of awareness. It's a song of reconciliation with my own heart. You know, we have these great opportunities to use our creativity to teach ourselves and to teach others. And we can do it with gardening. We can do it with the way we play with a child. We can do it with the way we listen to a friend. We can do it in creating, you know, bringing our musicianship to other musicians as you do, bringing our voice and our heart to others as I do through my music or through my book.
Mm-hmm.
There are just all these great opportunities to bring the best of ourselves. And that, I mean, the excitement for me now at this stage to have a whole new way to come into the world is just thrilling to me.
It is, and you're definitely creating a platform for yourself on this, Gloria. It's going to work.
Well, I hope so. I know it already is. I mean, I've had people already write reviews and just that this book is a treasure. And I mean, I'm so honored, you know, and other authors and then, you know, readers who are just saying, I can't wait to read your book. It sounds like exactly what I need. I've always wanted to understand coincidence. And, you know, so I want that to be a goodness in their life, what I've given in this book and in these songs, too.
Yes.
These songs have so much in them.
It's going to be a teaching tool for everyone who takes their hand, you know, opportunity to open their mind and, you know, really dive into it. It's definitely going to benefit us all.
And the best music touches our heart.
All the time.
Just the feeling of it touches our heart.
Yeah. You know, there's everyone's got a playlist or a certain song that, you know, they just gravitate to. It could be in a low time or an up time in your life. Yeah, you know, those songs, very music is therapeutic for us all, definitely.
Yes. Well, absolutely.
Well, Gloria, it's been a true honor again speaking with you and, you know, bringing your work to my show. It's just an honor and a pleasure. You know, you definitely got a spot here. Anything that you got pending in the future, I would love to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's such a pleasure. And I know you have a little bit of the music you said you might get a chance to play. So I so appreciate that.
Oh, definitely.
And the book is Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous, and there's a little button on the front page of my website. You can push there, and it'll take you if you're interested in ordering it. And the CD is in my store on my website, and I just want to share all this good stuff with everybody. I'm so excited to be able to do that.
Oh, perfect, man. We're going to push this out for you.
thank you so much.
Well, have a safe 2012 and 2013. Gloria, the best of luck to you and your family.
All right, thanks so much, Spud. Take care.
You too, thank you.
All righty, bye.
Bye. And a big shout out and thank you to Miss Gloria Loring for coming on the show and chopping it up with me about her new project release, Coincidence is God's Way of Remaining Anonymous. It's always a pleasure for me to talk to Gloria. She's such an amazing person, and she's so talented, singer, songwriter, and now author. And for her to add a soundtrack to all the chapters in the book, that was just really a great idea, and this is really adds another element to the whole project as a whole. For more information on Gloria Loring, you need to check out her website at www.glorialoring.com, www.glorialoring.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit me up at www.spudtootight.com, www.spudtootight.com. And to close out the show, I'm going to let the track that's playing in the background close out the show. And the title of the track is called Turn the Page, and it is written and performed by Gloria Loring. And I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace. All I could see, the pain.
page now. You can turn the page. You can turn the page now. You can turn the page. You can turn the page now. You can turn the page. You can turn the page now. You can turn the page.